Ta-ta, you won't see me again. I'm going to go and shoot my wife and baby. Those were the last words spoken by 26-year-old Henry King on Friday, the 12th of December, 1958, to an acquaintance named Sheila Whip at the Dunhorse Hotel in Blackburn. Her reply to such a statement was simple enough. Don't be stupid. King then handed her a small-looking object that she initially believed to have been nothing more than a cigarette lighter. The object was in fact a bundle of around 25 bullet cartridges. Henry King and Sheila Agnes Bullen were married in January 1957. Together they had a baby boy by the name of David, but it appears that both Henry and Sheila had always had a turbulent marriage, having separated on many occasions. King, who was a former cook and stationed at the RAF in Germany in May 1957, had at one time been labelled as being emotionally immature by a former RAF doctor, David Pottinger. It was during his time in the RAF that King came under the care of Dr. Pottinger on May the 29th, 1957, and later that month, the doctor wrote a note concerning King to a consultant psychiatrist, saying that he considered at the time that King was in a paranoid state. Dr. Pottinger knew that King had served 3 years of Borstal training, and in the note to the consultant, he mentioned that Borstal experience had left a mark on King, and he believed everyone in the camp was pointing him out. Now, King had also disliked the police, both civil and military, and he thought that they were gunning for him. He also failed to make any friends. Dr. Pottinger also stated that during his service at the small station of the RAF in Germany during 1957, King got into trouble of various sorts and his wife had attempted suicide. He also discussed King's domestic issues once or twice a month, but King would never accept any personal blame for his troubles as it was always somebody else's fault. After serving at another station, King returned and his wife Sheila informed him, saying that she might be pregnant. However, he would later tell people he was not the father, despite the fact that he was. Violence within their home would escalate, with King striking Sheila on more than one occasion, complaining that she could not even make tea or even boil an egg. He would also later try to explain his violence by saying he struck his wife to improve her domestic duties. On another occasion, he would throw her out of their house and tear up her underwear. He would also say to people that he had only married Sheila because she had proposed to him, and if he had not married her, nobody else would have done. In December 1957, King again beat his wife. He also dragged her by the hair and threw her out of the front door when it was well below freezing. He would also call her a prostitute. Now, Sheila was at breaking point and soon asked to be sent back home to England. As for Henry, it was suggested by those in authority that he was not suitable to be in the RAF, and he was sent on to the RAF hospital at Halton in Buckinghamshire. It was here that he would finally be discharged from the service on medical grounds. Sheila had tried to cope, but it seems she found it almost impossible to break free from Henry. She would leave him, worry, doubtfully return to him, find yet again it impossible to be alone, she would worry some more and then leave him, and the cycle would repeat throughout the most of 1958. But 3 weeks prior to the events that took place on December the 12th, Sheila had once again moved back in with her parents and had taken their son with her. Just after 10 o'clock on Friday, December the 12th, King left the Dunhorse Hotel and went to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Bullen, his wife's parents in nearby Brewery Street. Inside were Robert Bullen and his wife Alice, who were both in their bedroom. Their daughters Pauline and 20-year-old Sheila King, who was holding her 6-month-old baby son David, were in the living room. A young man named Jimmy Betts and his baby James were also present, as well as a neighbour called Mrs. Blanche Cowell. After knocking on the front door of number 8, Sheila went to open it. She was obviously startled by the sight of Henry standing there and holding a shotgun. Having forced his way inside, Sheila ran upstairs, taking her son with her. Robert and Alice were awoken from their sleep and quickly got dressed and went to see what the commotion was. But as they appeared at the top of the stairs, King looked up at the pair, smiling in a wild, lost sort of way. "Mrs. Bullen, I've come here tonight to kill your daughter," King proceeded to say. "I don't want any argument. Mrs. Bullen, Sheila is going to die tonight." Alice recalled seeing the white of King's knuckles as he gripped hold of the shotgun he had brought along with him. Trembling, Alice and Robert, as well as Sheila, began to make their way down the stairs and into the kitchen where the rest of her family and friends had by now congregated. It was around 11 o'clock in the evening, and for the next 90 minutes, Alice and her husband Robert would plead, argue, fight, lie, and try to trick Henry King into leaving the house without any harm coming to the occupants. However, King was having none of it, repeating the same lines over and over. "No one goes out of this house alive tonight." After several minutes of shouting and screaming, King began arguing with his wife Sheila, and in doing so he took his eyes away from Alice. Spotting an opportunity to try and defend her family, Alice began to poke the fire in the kitchen. She then suddenly whipped around and threw the poker at King. She missed. "Mrs. Bullen, if you try another trick like that, I'll shoot you dead," warned King. King then asked Sheila, "Do you still love me, Sheila?" To which she replied, "You have killed all the love I had for you." Alice then turned to King, saying, "That gun is not loaded." As a warning, King tilted the gun upwards and fired a shot into the ceiling above them, sending plaster cascading down onto Mrs. Blanche Cowell. "There's plenty more, Mrs. Bullen. Enough for the lot of us," King warned. King then ordered all of the occupants upstairs, and in doing so, Alice rushed to the bedroom window and shouted to a man in the street to bring the police, but he just carried on walking away. In the bedroom and on the wall was a crucifix, which King ordered Sheila to stand under. He then pulled a cross and chain from his pocket and said to Sheila, "This is your Christmas present, put it around your neck, but you still have to die tonight." Meanwhile, another man was walking past the house, and when Alice spotted him, she again shouted for help. But just like the man before him, he also walked past, ignoring her plea. For the next 30 minutes or so, the family begged for King to let everyone go, but he was having none of it. "Now we're going to go to church, just the two of us, to make some fresh vows," King said to Sheila. Alice said to King that her daughter was going nowhere with him that night, but he then ordered that the pram they had for their baby son David be brought back into the house. Bringing everyone back downstairs, Robert Bullen turned to King and told him that he didn't want to go out with a gun as the police would see it. At this moment, Alice had already made her way outside of the house, and as King ordered everyone back indoors, Alice ran to her neighbours and asked for them to get the police. After doing so, but being extremely fearful, Alice made the brave decision to go back to her home to try and reason with King. "Now, Harry, lad, don't be a fool," she said to him upon entering the house. Something inside King seemed to reason with him, and he eventually placed the gun over the arm of a settee. But any flicker of hope the occupants of the house may have had would soon be extinguished, and it wouldn't be long before the events would take a turn for the worse. Constable John Corville, who was nearby when the call came from the neighbours of Mr. and Mrs. Bullen, had arrived at the house, along with two other police constables. Pauline Bullen looked towards the front door and said, "The police are here." King immediately grabbed the gun, saying, "Now we'll have some fun." King had forced everyone back into the kitchen as Constable Corville made his way into the house. "Get back, it's loaded," King shouted as Corville appeared. Holding out his left hand, the officer said to him, "Come on, give me the gun." King then fired, hitting Corville in the groin. With everyone now screaming, King turned the gun towards his wife Sheila before pulling the trigger. "Get out, the lot of you," he screamed as the rest of the family and friends fled into the front room. Corville was assisted out of the house by the other two officers as the occupants within the house chose this moment to escape. "The next one who comes into this room gets it," King then shouted. Outside and on the street, Alice asked her daughter Pauline what had happened to Sheila, and Pauline replied she had been shot in the back. The streets would soon become filled with not just the police, but with bystanders from nearby houses who had all heard the gunshots coming from the Bullen's house. It wouldn't take long before 47-year-old Inspector James O'Donnell had arrived at the house where King was now alone with his wife Sheila and their baby David. "This is Inspector O'Donnell, Henry. You know me. Will you let me come in?" King replied with some unintelligible reply, and Inspector O'Donnell said, "All right, I'm coming in." King was near the door, pointing the gun at the inspector. Another officer named Helliwell also went into the room, but was soon ordered back out. Another inspector by the name of John Harrison then went into the house. And after a few minutes passed, another shot was heard reverberating from inside the home. The onlookers, whom had all congregated outside, were jolted by the loud noise. As Inspector O'Donnell opened up his small notebook and began to write, Inspector Harrison had said something to King to try and reason with him. "He is not writing," King said, before levelling the gun at Inspector O'Donnell and pulling the trigger. The bullet hit Inspector O'Donnell in the abdomen. Inspector Harrison tried to quickly leave the room, picking up a chair and throwing it at King. Inspector O'Donnell himself was trying to crawl out of the room, and eventually made his way into the hallway. At 1 a.m, the police brought King's brother to the house to talk to him. King then threw out a letter written by his wife to another man and demanded it should be read. However, his brother was too upset and the police officer had to read it out loud himself. The letter was intended for a gentleman named Dennis Horgan. Part of it read, "Dear Dennis, it was very nice to get to know you. Would you send me a photo of you? I will send one to you later. My mum bought me a skirt, coat and underwear. Dennis, can you send me a bit of money as I want to pay for my solicitor? If you can't, I understand. Love, Sheila." The siege in Brewery Street lasted from around 11:45 p.m. until 2:30 a.m, with most of the neighbours by now following police orders to stay indoors and turn off the lights. The Chief Constable of Blackburn, Mr. R.R. Bibby, made his way to the scene along with the Deputy Chief Constable, Mr. J.M. Rogers, and obtained the assistance of two police dogs from the Lancashire Constabulary. He would also order the arrival of a supply of tear gas bombs. And it was around 2:15 a.m. when two of these tear gas bombs were thrown through a rear window in the house. Shortly afterwards, a gunshot echoed from inside the house and King was heard to say he had shot himself. A police dog was immediately sent in, along with onrushing police officers. King was found lying on the floor of the kitchen, wounded, but not in a serious condition. Sheila King was found lying on the floor near to the fireplace, but pronounced dead at the scene. She had been shot in the back. As for their baby son David, he was sound asleep in his pram, despite all the noise going on around him. Inspector O'Donnell was taken from the house and transported to Blackburn Royal Infirmary, but would sadly pass away shortly before midnight on Saturday, the 13th of December. As for King, he was also taken to the Royal Infirmary so his minor wounds could be attended to, as well as being detained by the police. He would later be transported to the police headquarters over in Blackburn, and after being charged on two counts of murder, as well as a further charge of attempted murder of Police Constable Coville, King replied with, "I am very sorry for everybody." He would also reply to the first charge, that concerning the murder of his wife Sheila, by simply replying with, "Nothing to say." To the second charge, that of murdering Inspector O'Donnell, King said, "He was a good man." On Tuesday, 16th of December, Henry King was remanded in custody for a week after appearing before Blackburn magistrates. He would state that his address given was that of Wellesley Street, Blackburn, and that he had known the deceased Sheila King. Asked if he would need legal help, he replied saying, "Yes, sir," and named John Backhouse as the man he wanted to defend him. King, who was smartly dressed, had his arm pinned to his chest under his jacket. From all accounts, he tried to shoot himself as the tear gas bombs had been thrown inside the house, and this is what led to him injuring his arm. Less than 3 months after the tragic events that had taken place at No. 8 Brewery Street, the trial of Henry King, charged with two counts of murder and one of attempted murder, took place at the Manchester Crown Courts on Monday, 10th of March 1959. He would at first plead guilty on all accounts, but after speaking with his barrister, Mr. J.R. Critchin, he soon changed his plea to not guilty. His defence was submitted that at the time he was suffering from paranoid schizophrenia, which impaired his mental responsibility. Mr. D. Brabbing QC, prosecuting, would tell the court that there was premeditation and that King had clearly planned his attack on Sheila King. He would detail how King had purchased a shotgun and 25 cartridges and that the gun had a magazine which would carry 4 cartridges and if another was carried in the breech, it could fire 5 times in succession. He would also mention how King had visited the Dunhurst Hotel at 8:15 p.m. and remained there until 10 p.m. and having spoken with Sheila Whip, he had already drank 6 or 7 shots of whiskey and was in a clear state of drunkenness when he left. The case would only last for 3 days, and on Thursday, 13th of March, Henry King would be jailed for life, not murder, but for the manslaughter of his wife Sheila and that of Detective Inspector James O'Donnell. The jury were reminded by Mr. Justice Ells that if they were not satisfied King was a paranoid schizophrenic, their only verdict was one of capital murder. They would remain locked in talks for just over 4 hours, but when they came back into court, they were unable to agree on a verdict. The judge told them it would be advisable to try to agree, even if their verdict was one of manslaughter. Upon sentencing, King had gripped the bars of the dock so hard his knuckles had turned white. He spoke to the judge saying, "In my own mind, those two people should have been alive today. In the lower court, I should have been found innocent, not guilty." And just like Dr. Pottinger had proclaimed only 2 years before, King would not take any responsibility for his actions, yet again blaming others. He would also claim that the police had been persecuting him and of having dragged him from his house and beaten up. However, the judge saw through the charade, saying, "In view of the evidence and what you have just said, I am convinced that you are not fit to be at large." It was as bad a case of manslaughter as could be imagined. The case was a sequel to a night of terror in the terrorist home of the parents of King's wife in Brewery Street, Blackburn. King held his sister-in-law Pauline at bay for an hour and a half at the point of an automatic shotgun. He had previously drunk 7 whiskies and boasted in a public house, "I am going to shoot my wife and baby." Henry King would be jailed for life, but ultimately served just 18 years. The funerals of both Sheila King and James O'Donnell took place on Thursday, 18th of December. Both interments took place within the grounds of Pleasanton Cemetery. James O'Donnell's body was taken from his home in Higher Croft Road to Pleasanton Cemetery, and as the cortege passed through Blackburn, hundreds of people had lined the streets to pay their final respects. Over 100 CID officers had also come out in tribute to a fallen officer. O'Donnell was later awarded the posthumous Queen's Police Medal for gallantry, and 4 other officers who were at the scene that night would also be rewarded for their bravery. Wounded Police Constable Jack Coville, Inspector John Harrison, Police Constable Helliwell, and Police Constable Jack Riley all received the Queen's Commendation for brave conduct. On Tuesday, December 13th, 2022, a special ceremony was held to unveil a memorial in the name of James O'Donnell. Funded by the Police Memorial Trust, this is the first memorial the Trust has ever erected in Lancashire. Attending were family members of James, along with serving officers and detectives, and the Mayor of Blackburn with Darwin, Councillor Suleiman Connaught. Chief Constable Chris Rowley said during the unveiling that James O'Donnell had made the ultimate sacrifice while serving the community, and it was important that his sacrifice and his service to the force was never forgotten. So many thanks again for coming along and listening to this story. As all the others are, it's a truly tragic and sad case. But if you did like it, please don't forget to comment down below, especially if you're listening to this from our website over at www.daysofhorror.com. In the meantime, as I always say at the end of every single story, please look after yourselves, take care, and I'll be back soon with another tale from a dark but disturbing past.